Once again, please open in your Bibles to the first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 11, where we find the words of institution of the Lord's Supper. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What is the Lord's Supper? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What are we doing here? Why are we doing it? What benefit is there? And does it really matter if I'm here? I wonder if these thoughts have ever crossed your mind as you made your way from lunch over here to this service of worship. I don't know if these have ever entered your mind, but I do know the question, "What is the Lord's Supper?" has been asked in the past. Not by someone who didn't know what it was, but by a group of pastors who desired to teach the church what it is we're doing here, why we're doing it, what benefit there is and why it matters that we're here. And I thought it might be helpful for us and of some encouragement to look at what they have to say regarding the issue of communion. So this afternoon, we will take into consideration the Westminster Assembly's larger catechism and the answer it gives to the question, "What is the Lord's Supper?" Now, I don't intend uncovering everything they have to say, but the main point I want you to get this afternoon is that you can and will grow in grace through communion with Jesus Christ and his church. So with that in mind, listen to the answer they give to the question, "What is the Lord's Supper?" The Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine according to the appointment of Jesus Christ, his death is showed forth, and they that worthily commune feed upon his body and blood to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace, have their union in communion with him confirmed, testify and renew their thankfulness and engagement to God, and their mutual love and fellowship with each other as members of the same mystical body. As you can hear, there's a lot to take in there. But once again, the main point I hope you get today and hope you come away with is that you can and will grow in grace through communion with Jesus Christ and his church. And to get to that point, we first need to realize that Christ has given you this sacrament. Look at what Paul says again in the words of institution in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 25. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The larger catechism begins saying that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein the giving and receiving of bread and wine has been established by the appointment of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul is pointing out in this passage when he says, "For what I receive from the Lord, that I deliver to you." The New Testament records this institution of the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22. And it's very possible that Paul read the account of the Lord's Supper from one of these Gospels. We know that he quotes the Gospel in Luke in one of his epistles. Or Jesus may have taught him directly when Paul had spent time with him when Jesus appeared to him. Either way, Paul is delivering to the church the practice which has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's desire is the church receives it receives what Christ has given. Perhaps there's a family tradition that you had growing up that was maybe started by your father or your grandfather, and this person intended for it to be passed on to generation to come. And as you grew up and found a spouse and had children, you passed this tradition on to them, hoping that it would continue on after you. Well, this is fairly similar to what has happened with the Lord's Supper. Jesus Christ has delivered the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to his apostles, and they delivered it to their spiritual children. Ever since Jesus took the bread and cup in his hands, the church has been doing the same thing throughout the whole generation of his existence. This is what Christ has given us, so we can observe it and deliver it down to the generations past us. But now it has come to us. And when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you ultimately receive what Christ has given to you. For you are not some unknown generation in the mind of Christ, our Lord, to which the sacrament might eventually come. But when Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you," he had you in mind, because it's you for whom he died. You were in the mind of Christ as he hung on the cross, and you were in the mind of Christ as he delivered this sacrament to his apostles. In this way, it's more than just simple tradition, but it's a sacrament given to remind you of what Jesus has done for you. Christ gives this sacrament to you so that you can proclaim his death. And that's how the catechism continues. It says the Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to the appointment of Jesus Christ, his death is showed forth. That's just what Paul says in verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What Paul says here gets to the heart of what a sacrament really is. A sacrament is something instituted by Christ which serves to represent or signify something else. It's the using of sensible signs, things which we can see, we can taste, we can hear, we can smell, and we can handle, to point toward the reality of something we cannot see, taste, feel, hear, or smell. It's just like the four-way intersection sign that you see on the road as you're driving down that points to the reality of the intersection that's down the road that you can't yet see. The sacrament points toward the reality of the thing that it signifies. And the Lord's Supper points to the death and satisfaction of Jesus' atoning work on the cross. It just doesn't point towards his death, however. It points to the fact as to why he died and what his death accomplished. Jesus has come in the flesh to offer sacrifice for sinners, without which you and I would perish in hell for all eternity. Jesus has willingly stepped into your place as your substitute. He has willingly taken upon himself the punishment for your sins, like one who shields another. Just like that young man who shielded his girlfriend in the Colorado shooting from the hail of gunfire that was pointed her way and died because of it. Jesus has shielded you by his blood, dying to bear the wrath of God for you. This is what you proclaim when you partake of the Lord's Supper. This is not only do you proclaim this reality when you partake, but when you partake, you feed upon Christ himself. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." In that passage, Jesus tells his disciples to eat and drink his body and blood. Now, the apostles do not physically eat and drink the literal and actual body of Jesus Christ, and we don't do so today. But when we partake of these elements, we internalize their significance. Just think about what happens when you eat or drink something. You consume it. You make it your own, part of who you are. And this is how we partake of Christ's body and blood. By faith, we consume what the elements represent. We make it part of who we are. Jesus is here by his Spirit, and he gives to us the virtue of his death and resurrection from the dead. When you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you signify your acceptance of Jesus Christ. your helplessness as a sinner, and your trust in his work as a sufficient sacrifice to save you. And it's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit through faith that you can accept and trust in this way. That's why the larger catechism goes on to say, and they that worthily commune feed on his body and blood. Without faith, you cannot feed upon Christ. That is, without faith, there is no acceptance or trust in Christ. You have not made him your own. It is faith that makes one worthy to partake. Without faith, a person has no part of Christ. Therefore, he should not act as if he has part of him in the supper. And the same holds true for those living in unrepentant sin. If they're living apart from Christ, they should not pretend that they take of something that they do not want. Yet when you, as a repentant and believing sinner, come and feed on Christ by faith, you do so in a worthy manner, and you are spiritually nourished, and you grow in grace. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Through the gospel, the Spirit of God brings salvation to those who are dead in their transgressions and sins. And through the gospel, the Spirit of God carries on the work of salvation and those who have already believed. Whenever you and I read the Word of God and embrace it with faith, the Spirit of God applies the Word to our hearts and we grow in holiness and in grace. For we cannot come away from the presence of Christ in the Word without being changed. And the same holds true for this sacrament. The Lord's Supper is the visible Word of God. It is a visible representation of the gospel. And whenever we eat and drink in faith, the Spirit of God applies this visible word to our hearts, applies to us the benefits of redemption, and we grow in holiness and grace. In the Lord's Supper, we all, as Paul says, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Just like when you spend some time outside in the sun, its radiance changes the shade of your skin. Whenever you spend time with the Son of God in his word and sacrament, his radiance changes the color of your soul. So come not only to the pages of Scripture, but to this sacrament with great expectation, and that by faith you will be nourished and fed for your Christian walk and conformed more to the image of Jesus Christ. For in the word and sacraments, in this supper today, the Holy Spirit makes you more of what you've been declared to be. Because in this sacrament, the benefits of the covenant of grace are made yours more and more. For the Lord says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. His promise to you is that I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Christ has given us a wonderful means for Christian growth. And not only do you grow in grace when you partake of the Lord's Supper, but you also confirm your union and commitment to Christ and his people. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17 to see Paul laying this out. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. When believers partake of the Lord's Supper, they declare themselves to be one with the Lord. And so by identify themselves as members of the body of Christ, separate from the world. As the larger catechism puts it, they have their union and communion with him confirmed and testify and renew their thankfulness and engagement to God and their mutual love and fellowship with each other as members of the same mystical body. Just like when you celebrate your anniversary with your husband or wife and it serves as a testimony of the union you have as a married couple, and often serves to strengthen your bond together, so too does the celebration of the Lord's Supper serve as a testimony of the union you have with Jesus Christ and draws you closer to him. And because we all are in union with Christ, we are in union with one another as members of his body. And we show our common ground and bond together as we all come and feed on the same source of grace. The Puritan Thomas Ridgely says that we are to have communion with one another and thereby express our mutual love as members of Christ's mystical body, who have the same end in view and make use of the same means, namely Christ crucified. And we attend on the same ordinance in which he is set forth and have the same common necessities, infirmities, and corruptions, and the same encouragements for our faith. Hence, we ought to sympathize with one another, and by faith and prayer be helpful to those with whom we join in this ordinance. We're all members of the same body, and we all look to the same Savior for salvation from the same plight. The Lord's Supper reminds you of this, and therefore you should be all the more willing to forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So what then is the Lord's Supper? Well, we've briefly considered how it's a sacrament given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given it to you so that you can proclaim his death. And that by your actions of eating and drinking the elements, you confess that you've placed your faith in him, the atoning sacrifice for your sins. And because of that, you have peace with God. In communion, we are reminded of how we are all members of the same body. And we all rely on the same grace that is found in Christ. And we have seen how Christ, by his Spirit, feeds and nourishes the soul so that we may grow in grace. So if you find yourself struggling with sin in your life, if you're looking for strength to endure and overcome, if you desire to walk in holiness and to see the fruits of the Spirit manifest in your life, if you want to experience greater union with Christ and his church, come and partake of this sacrament. Experience God's grace and strength anew. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Claim the redemption and forgiveness for sins which Christ has purchased for you. And declare your bond of love with Christ and his people. All so that you can grow in grace through communion with the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for giving it to us by means of your word and by means of sacramental signs. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this day, that you would bless this moment, and bless it to our encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond with singing Psalm 23, Selection B.